So Mary is very important to our faith. Not because she's equal to Jesus, she's not. She's important to our faith for many reasons. And here are two of the biggest. First, because she conceived and gave birth to Jesus and raised him. So we heard part of that raising in the gospel just now. Second, because she has an immaculate heart. An immaculate heart is one that's untouched by sin. In other words, she was able to love perfectly. She loved perfectly, passionately. We catch a glimpse of that perfect passion in the gospel today, where she's searching for Jesus for 3 days. It's interesting, for 3 days. He was in the tomb for 3 days. He was lost for 3 days, at the beginning and at the end. She's searching for him for 3 days with great anxiety, with perfect, passionate love. It's important to realize that Mary is not the first woman to have an immaculate heart. Do you know who that was? Eve. Yeah, Eve. You know, the one of forbidden fruit fame, right? Eve was created by God without sin, and so with an immaculate heart. She was able to love perfectly, passionately too. But she chose to desire what was not hers. She chose to grasp after equality with God. And her immaculate heart became very maculate, very stained with sin. And here's the real consequence of that sinful heart. The Holy Spirit left her and left Adam and was not part of any of their children until Mary. Mary had an immaculate heart preserved by God, created by God in that way, just like Eve was, right? She had an immaculate heart not just to be pretty on the inside, beautiful though she was, on the inside and outside maybe. She had an immaculate heart so that she could be full of grace and so that she could be overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. And when that happened, for the first time since Eve, the Holy Spirit returned to dwell with the human race. That second reading from the book of Revelation says, "Behold, God's dwelling is with the human race." That began with Mary. God is back because of the immaculate heart of Mary. In the responsorial psalm today, we sang that God raises the needy from the dust. From the dung heap, he lifts up the poor to seat them with nobles, make a glorious throne their heritage. That's what he did with Mary. Raised her up, lifted her high, seated her with nobles above the angels, gave her a glorious throne in heaven. She refers to that herself in the Magnificat earlier in the Gospel of Luke, where she says, "He has looked with favor on his lowly servant," right? Whom he has raised up. He looked with favor on her immaculate heart, raised her up, and filled her with his Holy Spirit. Each and every one of us is called to have immaculate hearts as well. Not just to look pretty, but so that we can be filled with the Holy Spirit too. Sometimes I can hear people say things like, "I don't want an immaculate heart, I want to have fun." Which is another way of saying, I want to sin. And certainly, sin can be fun. I don't deny that. Sadly, I don't deny that. But virtue can be a load of fun too. And virtue doesn't include regret. Sin, on the other hand, always includes regret. How do we get an immaculate heart? A heart that's primed for perfectly passionate love and filled with fun at the same time. The first and most important step is regular reception of the sacraments, right? The sacrament of reconciliation and regular reception of the sacrament of Holy Communion. Every time I go to confession, my heart gets wiped clean and it heals just a little bit more from the corruption of sin, from the wounds that sin leaves behind. And a heart that's wiped clean from sin is a much more glorious throne for the dwelling place of Christ when we receive Him in Holy Communion. Today's feast reminds us that Mary's Immaculate Heart was the prerequisite, so to speak, for her conceiving and carrying Jesus in her womb. So if we want to love perfectly and passionately, then we need the Holy Spirit of Jesus in our hearts and souls. And so we need purified hearts, moving ever more toward immaculate hearts. Finally, I can't not say just a few words about the Supreme Court decision handed down on Friday, yesterday, that struck down Roe v. Wade. From the moment of conception, science tells us that that single cell embryo is 100% human, with a complete human genome. A human genome fully distinct from the DNA of the mother. That embryo is not a tumor in the mother's womb that later becomes a human being if allowed to grow. Sometimes, when I'm growing on Father Paul's nerves, he thinks I'm a tumor, but that's a little different, right? Whole different thing there. Politics has been arguing for decades about whether that complete human being has legal rights or not, and whether the rights of the mother outweigh the right to life of that growing human being. Morally speaking, it's clear that there are two human beings, and both have a right to life. Our church rejoices that the right to life of that child in the womb can now be recognized. Our church is clear that the needs of the mother need to be respected and supported as much as possible also. Two human beings with all the dignity and grace that God bestows upon all of His children. And our work to support pregnancies and to support families after the birth of children must continue and increase as much as possible. So rejoice with me at the great step forward for the life of the child. Pray and work with me to encourage and support mothers and fathers in their challenging but always beautiful vocation. We need to help one another to have immaculate and passionate hearts that love and support the dignity of every human life, from conception to natural death. So here's the homework for the week. Ask for, and ask Him for, and strive for an immaculate heart. And remember the sacraments of penance and Eucharist in that striving. Secondly, reach out to encourage or help or pray for this week for someone who's pregnant. We must always be both pro-child and pro-mother. Immaculate Heart of Mary, pray for us. Say it again. Immaculate Heart of Mary,
pray for us.
Thank you.